When we were last here, you had just been to the Daldorf Asylum, where you had got some rather interesting information from Dr. Klinger, who had told you that Fraulein Unbekannt, unknown woman, was in fact this Sasnovsky, Shasnovska, Shamskovska, who now apparently is going under the moniker of Anna Tchaikovsky.
Anna Tchaikovsky, yes.
Anna Tchaikovsky, just to fuck with your heads even more. That is the name that she was discharged under. But more importantly, that she was discharged into the care of a certain Baron von Kleist, chief of police for Russian Poland. He took her into his care. You even got his address from Klinger, because it was in his records, although I don't think I actually said it last session. But his address, conveniently enough, is in Charlottenburg, which is pretty close to where you've been hanging about. So Charlottenburg is to the west of Mitte. It is also known, rather jokingly, as Charlottengrad, because because it is the epicenter of the Russian exiles in Berlin at the time. He's not Russian, he's German, but clearly he has a lot of ties with the Russians, obviously, at this point. As to what his interest in Anna Tchaikovsky might be, that's anyone's guess. So, it is the 22nd of June. You also, of course, went to the Garden Colony, where you found very creepy doll, rag doll with big black shiny button eyes stuffed inside a garden gnome.
In the garden gnome, in the shack, in the shed of outside of town of what's his name, of the Grossmann, yeah, right.
You found evidence of meat processing.
Smoked sausage.
And then you made a horrific realization about how widely distributed that meat had been through the delis and shops of Berlin for the last few years.
Berliners were eating Grossmann sausage.
Oh, God.
Berliners were eating Berliners.
But for some reason, my intelligent character did not put two and two together.
No. I would like to think, I'd like to think that he sort of managed to mentally block the thought before it entered his head.
My 90 intelligence character did not put two and two together.
It's getting on to late afternoon now by the time you've done these two visits. You're actually on the west side of the city, so you are, you know, relatively close to Charlottenburg. It's not too far. If you wish to go and follow this very enticing lead.
Yes. So across town in my BMW.
And we're not going to try the German pronunciation of that because that's really tough.
Bayerische Motorwerke.
You should be running this, not me.
No. I have a German wife who's from Berlin.
You head back in your car. The address you got is a few blocks west of the Eden Hotel.
Baron von Kleist, we're looking for.
Yeah, the Eden Hotel is there. So he must have been a few blocks west. So somewhere along the Kudamm probably was his address. You arrive. So even from the street, you can hear a lot of voices. It sounds like there's a party going on the top floor. It's only just after dusk, so it's very early for a party to be going on, but there's a definite sound. You all know what the sound of a party is.
Yes.
You can hear loud voices, laughter, you can hear glasses clinking, you can hear the occasional champagne cork popping, and you can hear music coming from out of the open windows on this beautiful, warm evening.
We're definitely going to look out of place at this place.
And you gave Safina a decent coat to cover up her rags.
Right, I gave her, yeah, very well.
So lush.
Yeah, but we're not like wearing either.
I'm always dressed like the Armenian, but without the seal fur lapels. I'm always smartly dressed.
So you go into the main lobby, and you realize that Baron von Kleist, he has the penthouse apartment, and there is a separate elevator that will take you up there. So you hop in, and you go up. And as soon as the doors open, it actually opens out into the apartment itself. There's no hallway outside, it just goes straight in. There's a distinct air of a cocktail party about this place, as you notice from the street, and there are a lot of people in this apartment. It's huge, it's the entire floor. This guy clearly is wealthy, and a lot of the talk is in Russian, the chattering assemblage.
And my guy speaks Russian.
And it seems like it's more or less an open house. As soon as you came in, some other people went out through the elevator and departed. And then the elevator started coming back up with another small group of visitors. It seems to be the hottest place in town at the moment. The first person you see is someone that you would imagine must be the Baron. He acknowledges you when you come in, but he's being surrounded by people who are having conversations with him. So he hasn't managed to come over yet and say anything. He's almost cartoonishly Baron-like.
Oh, yes.
He's in his late 60s. He's a pencil-thin man with a pince-nez and an old-fashioned manner of dress. There's a classic livid red dueling scar running down his left cheek.
A schmiss, they call it.
Oh, is that what they call it? His hair is thin and snowy white, and he sports an impressive goatee and waxed moustache, also white. You can see that it seems like every time he gets a bit bored of the latest supplicant who's coming up to talk to him, he gets his pocket watch out rather extravagantly and looks at it as if he's just counting down the seconds for them to move on before he has to deal with the next visitor. But he seems very welcoming, generally. You can see he's waiting for you to come over to introduce yourselves. You can also make a spot hidden, everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got an extreme success.
I got a fail.
I guess you're looking at all the fascinating faces, the majority of whom do not have particularly Germanic features. Clearly, they're mainly Russians here. I think the Armenian is also scanning to see this remarkable assemblage. But, Eckhart, you can't help noticing someone who's literally leaving. As you moved into the room, this person with a couple of companions is leaving for the elevator. And at first, you're like, oh, that person looks familiar. And then you realize who it is. You realize it's that guy that you ran into on that very first afternoon. It's Manfred von Killinger, the head of that neo-Nazi group.
Oh! That guy.
Yes.
Well, this spit on my drawing.
Well, no, that was one of his thugs.
Oh.
He was the guy that was standing back and letting it all play out, but clearly orchestrating matters. And he's just slipped out of the party pretty much as soon as you arrived. He didn't seem to recognize you or anything. You had a very brief interaction with him, after all. But interesting that he should be here.
Yeah, especially because we were sent after this by ostensibly a Russian monarchist. And we've come across a guy that we would assume, or I would assume, that Baron von Kleist is very likely a German loyalist, somebody who probably still pines for the Kaiser.
Right, well, fascism and monarchism are, you know.
Yes, but they're not the same,
Certainly get along better than communists.
Yes, they're both.
Not the same, they both get along with each other better than they will with communists.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, there was definitely overlap. It's complicated, but there was clearly overlap. So not unusual to see a fascist with a monarchist group, at least socializing, but interesting nonetheless. But he's gone. Maybe you can inquire about him later. But anyway, the Baron eventually indicates to you to come over, and he warmly greets you, and he says, "Welcome to my humble abode. I hope you're here to support the cause."
We know what this cause is.
We don't know.
Okay.
Here because we invitation, sir. But I'm afraid for my own part, I must plead ignorance as to which cause you refer.
Well, of course, these fine people here, my dear friends, whose situation has become rather unfortunate with recent events in Russia. The cause is, of course, to return things to the natural order.
Yes, of course.
Now, may I ask your names, please?
I am Eckhart Schild, a simple novelist and sometime artist.
Pleased to meet you. There is always space for those who work in the lively arts in my circle. Please, take a drink and make yourself at home.
Thank you, sir.
You young lady.
Yes.
Are your feelings as passionate as your friend here about returning the monarchy to its rightful place?
Oh, absolutely.
Good, good, good. Well, And your friend here, his features look a little bit not German exactly. Where are you from, sir?
Sir, I am an Armenian. I am a humble Armenian entrepreneur.
Oh, of course. One must keep the wheels of commerce in motion, eh?
Always.
Good, good. Well, look, please, make yourselves at home here. Take a drink. Please introduce yourselves to these good people. Our mission here, of course, is to generate a groundswell of feeling for the return of those who rightfully ruled Russia for so many centuries.
Fair.
I nod. Sure. I don't really have any feeling for that one way or the other. Yeah.
Russia's far away, man.
I guess you're probably scanning the room. The one person you haven't seen is, well, Anna Tchaikovsky, Savznovsky, Shamskovska.
Right.
The lady who, to all intents and purposes, is Grand Duchess Anastasia. That's who she claimed to have been.
Right.
But of course, this is a woman with so many identities by now that you know, the whole thing might be just a complete fabrication.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one here that matches the description that you have or the image that both you, Eckhart, and you, Safina, have in your head. Because, Safina, you also saw her in your clairvoyance. You got the address from the asylum. This is where Anna Tchaikovsky is meant to be living. Baron is the one who got her released from the asylum into his care.
So we go, like, get a drink and mingle.
Okay.
I say, like, just out of curiosity, my business is, if you forgive my entrepreneurial crudeness, I am a man who thrives upon knowing people, and I can't help but notice that this social circle frequently intersects with the a certain man that has introduced himself to us by the name of Prince Konstantinovich.
Oh.
Who is a certain supporter of the rightful order of things in Russia, and I assume that you two are acquainted.
Well, why, of course. Yes, I am very familiar with Prince Konstantinovich. I was hoping he would be here tonight, but apparently he was otherwise occupied. He had prior engagement.
I would not presume to call myself his friend, but I have been asked by the prince to do him a small personal favor, and I wonder if perhaps you might be able to answer a burning question.
I hope I can. It seems very mysterious.
Well, it's not that mysterious. It's just a matter of whether or not you are acquainted with a young woman by the name of Anna Tchaikovsky.
Why, certainly. Certainly I am. In fact, she is here right now. Unfortunately, she's not much of one for parties, you see.
Oh.
It's with the troubles she has had, and it is such a shame what has happened to her, and how she has fallen from grace. But that is my true heart's desire, to return her to where she should be. I, for one, am convinced that this young lady is, in fact, the Grand Duchess Anastasia, as she claims to be.
And I'm sure you're probably right, and I would assume that my patron, Prince Konstantinovich, probably would agree. It's just, you understand that I don't believe that the prince could hardly be a man who would accept word of mouth and innuendo for what it was.
Any proof, of course, would be of great interest to myself, and I'm sure to the prince as well. Sadly, we had no material possessions that could have verified her claim, and if you are in any way able to attain those things, that would be of great interest to me.
Proof that Anna Tchaikovsky is the Grand Duchess Anastasia.
Yes, absolutely. Have you uncovered any information or evidence?
Just finding her whereabouts and her real name has been a matter of great difficulty.
Yes, she's only been here for 2 weeks, but in that time, she has impressed upon me greatly that she is in mortal fear of her life from Bolshevik assassins and other ne'er-do-wells, so I have had to be extremely discreet, as you can imagine.
Absolutely, and both are present in abundance here in Berlin.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed, indeed. But have you come here wishing to talk to her, to meet her?
I would very much like to talk to her and meet her, just so I can tell my patron, you know, Prince Konstantinovich, what I've seen and heard with my own eyes.
You see, I must still be careful.
Certainly.
How can I be sure that you have her best interests at heart?
Well, you see, my personal interest is the friendship of people with powerful international connections. And I could hardly find more important friends here in Berlin than you and the prince. Certainly not among the Bolsheviks.
No, of course, of course. Well, I suppose you seem trustable. I'm not sure about your two friends. They look a little bit...
I'm going to stand up a little straighter. Straighten my jacket. Try to cover my, like, raggedy skirt.
But I have a good feeling about you. Well, would you care to follow me?
Yes, sir.
So he ushers you into the inner sanctum. And there you find a very well-furnished bedroom suite and a rather bedraggled young woman who absolutely matches the image that Safina and Eckhart had in their heads. She's clearly this Anna Tchaikovsky woman. She's dressed in a nightgown and robe, her pretty face marred by what is obviously a chronic lack of sleep and a look of anxiety about her. And she kind of almost flinches a little as you come into the room, and the Baron says, "It's okay, Anna, it's okay." He's speaking to her in German, and then he turns to you and says, "Anna prefers not to speak in her native tongue. She says it brings back painful memories."
Okay, so we'll speak to her instead in German.
And it's very obvious that she has extensive scars on her neck and hands. And you can tell they look like bite marks. You knew that they were bite marks from what the doctor said. Katorian and Eckhart, you both notice another wound on her foot, a triangular wound that the two of you would have seen these wounds before. It's a bayonet wound.
A bayonet in her?
Yeah, pretty nasty. She looks at you like a nervous animal and slightly cowers, and the Baron says, "It is okay, Anna, it is okay. These are friends. They are here to help." And she sits very still and just looks at you. Doesn't say hello, doesn't greet you. She seems quite, well, disturbed.
Understandable.
So the Baron sits down, and he indicates that you should sit as well.
Okay, so I sit down.
I'm going to sit down.
So, Safina and Eckhart, what do you want to do?
I've been gabbing.
I am content to let him continue doing the talking, since he's done so well. And I don't know how to speak to fancy people like the Baron.
Anna seems very reluctant to say anything right now. You're going to have to do something if you want to open her up at all.
Yeah, I'm going to say to her, "Listen, Anna, I know you must be scared. And I know you're right to be wary of us. You don't know any of us, and we could be anyone. But I swear to you, upon my life, we mean you no harm. And you still have friends. Those friends have engaged us to find you and ensure your safety. Anything you can tell us about those who might seek to harm you, and possibly, really, almost anything else you could remember. If you could just answer our questions, we'll be much better able to help you."
She looks at you. Maybe there's a slight relaxing of her shoulders, which were very tense and hunched. But she still is very tight-lipped, and she's looking at you intently. And the Baron leans into you and says, "Maybe you should tell her about your employer. Maybe she knows him."
Do you know Prince Konstantinovich?
There's obviously a flicker in her eyes. And you can make a charm roll at this point.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Now, do you want to make that an extreme success? It would go even better for you if you want to make that an extreme success.
How much is that? It's 7 luck. Put me down below 50%.
Anna, very quietly, she leans forward a little bit and she says, "Who are you?"
"Me? I am nobody. My name is Eckhart Schild, and I am a simple functionary hired by the prince to help you."
I vaguely remember the prince. Yes, Konstantinovich. He was a kind man. My memory is not so good. The last thing I remember is being pulled out of the Landwehr, the canal. But I can't remember why I jumped in. Everything before that is...
"Are you sure that you jumped?"
"Well, they said I did."
"What is the last thing you remember before waking up in the river?"
"Well, I remember I was using another name. I was using the name Franziska Szamskowska."
"Yes."
To try and get away, to try and avoid any harm. I am the Grand Duchess Anastasia, and I tell you this in the strictest of confidence. No one must know."
"Of course."
She fixes you with a very serious stare. She says, "There are those who would wish me dead. Maybe they would have had their way if I hadn't been so lucky as to be pulled out of the canal." And then she starts crying a bit. "I have had such a terrible life since that awful time when those terrible people killed my family and drove us out of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I only managed to escape by the grace of God. Life has been awful since then. We were caught at one point, and I was knocked unconscious by a bullet from a Bolshevik firing squad. I only escaped my life by a millimeter, and I woke up under the dead bodies of my family. A soldier there, a kind soldier, Alexander Tchaikovsky, he found me and took me away. He was so kind, such a different kind of man, and I loved him. We married and we had a child, but I had to give it up for adoption. We couldn't look after a child not living that life. Oh, and then one tragedy after another. Alex died in Budapest, and then I left. I fled on my own, and I ended up here in Berlin. And then after that, everything becomes very blurry. The next thing I remember is, as I said, being pulled out of the canal, and then my time in that awful place, the Dalldorf Asylum, until this good man here, this wonderful man, the Baron, enabled me to leave, and with his help and with the grace of God, I will regain my name.
Ma'am, might I be so bold as to ask what happened to your foot?
Oh, I don't remember, but there were so many awful times. I believe it is when we were captured. I have tried to forget. Those pigs, those Bolshevik scum, they have no care for anyone's life, not even a young, defenseless woman like myself.
I wonder if you recognize the name Piotr Szabelski Bork.
And she says, no. Why? Who is he? Should I know him?
Just a name that may be tied up in all this. If you don't recognize it, then don't trouble yourself.
No, I am sorry.
I'm hoping to see if there's some sort of reaction from him upon the mention of that name, Bork.
Okay, you can make a psychology roll. No, there's absolutely no flicker of recognition or reaction at all. He does not know. You are convinced he absolutely does not know this name.
Okay.
And but he does sort of look up and he says, ah, good, the tea. And a maid comes in. He says, Traudl, please bring the teas and coffees for our guests. So, my friends, you can see for yourself this young lady here. How could we not try to help her after all that she has been through?
This woman has clearly been through trauma. There's no question.
Yes. What could have caused this terrible scarring as well? That I can only imagine it is these Bolshevik scum who treated her so badly.
They sometimes treat people this badly.
Anna pulls her shawl a bit over her shoulders as if she's slightly embarrassed about the scars.
Right.
And suddenly the ambience is broken by the sound of shattering china.
Uh-oh.
Everyone turns to look, and the maid has dropped the tray and all the teapot and all the cups and everything have broken on the floor.
That's suspicious.
And she stands there, apparently completely unconcerned by the broken tea service, with a strange grin on her face.
Oh God, oh God.
Her eyes are looking odd, small and porcine, glittering with malicious intent and wholly inhuman, as Anna screams out, those eyes! I have seen them before!
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
She is holding a butter knife in amongst the broken crockery, and she is lurching forward, and you can't help but notice the shadow she casts on the wall is not that of a young woman.
Oh, God.
It's something far more terrible. And everyone has to make a sanity roll for seeing this transformation.
The minute that I saw the shadow, I knew that was coming.
Safina is fine because she's got so much sanity. So everyone loses one.
Okay.
You do have an involuntary reaction of some kind. I'll say it's either to gasp or to be just frozen where you sit. So for the first round, you're actually a bit stunned. You're not able to act. So this maid rushes forward holding a butter knife. And then in a voice that is not her own, the maid growls,
so, if it isn't Miss Sosnowski, we have unfinished business. Whore!
And she lunges forward. Actually, you know what I'll do? You can, given that you're passed, I will allow you a hard dex roll. So, Katorian, you're the only one that can react in time. So she lunges forward. She's clearly going for Anna with this knife.
I keep a blackjack hidden on my person, you know, because I'm a gangster boss, you know.
Of course.
I always keep hidden on my person unless I get searched, a Luger and a blackjack. At this point, I think my instinctive reaction instead of shooting at her would be to go for the blackjack and whack her with it. Interposing myself between her and Anna Tchaikovsky.
Definitely a good thing. Now, the way it works in Pulp Cthulhu is, if you get like a normal person or a mook down to half their hit points, you immediately incapacitate them, basically.
Okay.
So it's actually, as Pulp Heroes, it's quite easy to knock someone out if you wish. So
that's what I'm going to try to do, is knock her over the head a good one and hopefully knock her out. Killing her is better than failing.
Okay, so you can make a fighting brawl. Well,
nope. It was a valiant effort.
You could spend luck on it, but it'd be a lot. It'd be 26.
I'll spend 26.
Cool. Okay, so you lunge forward with your blackjack, trying to get in the way, maybe smack her around the face.
Mm-hmm.
She can try and dodge. This is, it is possible for her to dodge, so.
Right.
So let's see what she rolls. Yes, she manages to dodge out the way.
Ooh.
And then she's going to lunge forward, try and attack Anna. But fortunately, she misses. Now, Anna can actually try and fight back.
Oh, Anna!
Her skills.
Let's see if she's actually got any skills.
She might not need a protector. I mean, come on.
She's got a 25% in brawl, so who knows? She could get lucky. No, she doesn't. She flails an unconvincing back of a hand at this maid, who growls at her and says,
"Yes, that's it. Try it, Zastowski. I will taste you soon."
Right, now, Baron is just stunned, and he shouts out, Traudel, what are you doing? Are you crazy? But he's, like, just kind of shaking in his seat as just this scene of chaos is unfolding. Eckhart, you can take an action first, then.
I'm going to tackle her, because that's what I would do.
Okay.
That's what my character would do, regardless of my failure put points.
All right. Ah!
Hey, I rolled great.
Are you going to attack as well, Safina?
I have no weapon. I have weak little tiny fists that do 1d3 damage.
The other thing you can do, you can try and do a fighting maneuver.
Like a grapple or something?
That's what I was trying to do. I'm trying to, like, disarm her, is really...
Can I crush up one of my charcoals and, like, pocket sand her in the face?
Yes, absolutely.
Tactical charcoal.
Oh! Pocket sand!
Wow! Okay, so this is really excellent. So you crush up your charcoal, fling it in her face. She's like... she's like feral growling. And now because of that, she's going to have a penalty dice as she tries to dodge out of the way of Eckhart, who has grappled her.
Well, I was going to like grab her wrist and force the knife out of her hand but hold on to her.
She's not very strong at all. You're way stronger than her. So you grab her around the wrist, you yank the knife out of her hand, and she turns to you with this loathsome look in her eyes, and she says,
"Let go of me, you scum!"
And then she lunges forward and tries to bite you. Ooh. But she's going to have a penalty dice. There's black charcoal running down her face from the tears in her eyes as she's trying to blink it away out of her eyes. So she gets a... Oh my god, that's... Oh no, it's not a fumble. It's just a failure. Now, you can attack back. You can try and punch her back. You just need a regular success on your fighting brawl, and you can clock her. Okay, now, what is your damage bonus?
I have size and con, but not strength.
You got a d4.
So it's 1d3 plus 1d4?
Wow. You just clock her right in the mush.
Just, like, bring my big meanness down on her shoulder.
I'm a little bit disappointed that I didn't get to blackjack.
And the maid just drops to the ground, unconscious. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Safina. You need to make a power roll.
Oh, I have bonus on power rolls because I am strong-willed.
Hey, that's a very, very good one.
Okay, so you got hard success. All right, that's all.
That's it? God damn it.
Okay.
Yep, that's it. Okay, so the Baron jumps up and he says, "What on earth? She's been always so loyal. This woman, she must be a Bolshevik. My God." And Anna is sobbing in the corner. Oh, no, I cannot bear it. The eyes, did you see the eyes?
Ma'am, She probably is a Bolshevik, but she might be something else entirely. My grandmother used to tell me stories. I never knew whether they were true or not.
What do you mean, something else?
Don't scare the girl.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
I don't know.
The Baron has regained his composure and he walks over and he says, I am firing her immediately. Get her up. Wake her up. Ask her. We must ask her what on earth she was thinking, what she was doing.
Someone must have put her up to this. She should be questioned. But first she should be removed from here.
Yes, yes, I agree. Get her out of here immediately.
Do you have someplace secure we could...
Yes, yes, you can take my chambers. They are next door. I will comfort Anna here. And he goes over to Anna and he starts patting her on the back and stroking her hand, saying, There, my dear. It is okay. These fine people saved us from this assassin.
So we go and we drag the lady with us.
Her black maid shoes are rucking up the carpet as you drag her backwards through.
I'll grab her by the feet. You take her head.
All right. So you have got her next door and you can wake her up. It won't take much. You can give her a couple of slaps across the face to try and wake her up. So she starts groggily coming around saying, oh, she holds her face. What is going on?
Eckhart?
You can see now she looks normal. Their eyes are not what they were.
Don't look like they were.
Her eyes look totally normal now. She says, who are you? Why? Oh, why? Did you hit me? What is going on my chin?
Tell me what you remember. Something has happened. Tell me what you remember.
She says, oh, what? And then she starts sobbing. She says, what was it? What was it? And you realize now that something is breaking her mind, you know, possibly the memory of this. And she starts foaming at the mouth, looking at you with these incredibly scared eyes. She doesn't seem able to communicate.
Oh, seems like she just failed a sanity check.
Now, a way to try and calm someone down who's in this state is to use psychoanalysis.
No.
I don't have that.
I guess
that.
None of you have it, do you?
No.
And she's just jabbering, and she does actually manage to get out a few words. A demon! A demon took over my body! A demon! A demon! It came in! It came in! And then she just starts sobbing again.
Where? Where did it come in from?
You're not going to get anything more out of her. Not unless you can figure out how to calm her down, and obviously none of you are particularly good at this sort of thing. You would probably need to take her to see old Zygmunt himself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Safina, have you any insight?
I don't know.
It really seems like she was possessed.
Can I roll an occult to know?
Yeah, you can make an occult roll. Sure.
Nope, failed.
You could spend some luck.
Okay, let's see, 7. Oh, only 7. Yeah, I'll spend the luck.
You've heard about this sort of thing before. Now, what's hard to believe is that it could be real. You know, the look in her eyes, the shadow, that kind of vampiric shadow cast on the wall. These are clear signs of possession. You are all going to have to make a sanity roll upon this moment.
Yay.
Of course.
Well, those of you that succeeded, you still again lose 1 point of sanity.
Oh, I actually failed. Shit.
Mr. Eckhart, it's only a D2. It's not a big deal.
2.
I'm slowly whittling you down. I'm just hoping that one day you'll fail a sanity roll and then we can have some fun. Almost certainly, this has all the hallmarks then of demonic possession.
That is disturbing. I shudder involuntarily.
I know much about the world beyond, my child. Does clairvoyance apply to finding out about the circumstances under which a demonic possession would have occurred?
If it succeeds, you'll get some kind of visual picture of something that happened either in the past or somewhere distant or possibly even not in the future, because that would be different to psychic skill. You would definitely get some vague sort of image in your head about what had happened to this poor girl. So if you want to.
Okay, I'll try it. I'll put my hands on her head and focused and give it a shot.
Yeah, because she clearly doesn't know.
You get this strange sensation. It's almost like you're looking through her eyes, like you are her, as you're experiencing this clairvoyant experience. And suddenly you feel an evil presence enter your body.
Shit.
You're piggybacking on her experience. This evil presence. And suddenly you feel at the mercy of this presence. It's as if your vision actually recedes suddenly into the back of this maid's head, as if you're looking out through her eyes, but from a long way away, like the end of this long, dark tunnel. You can just see these two little circles of vision. Everything else is dark around it. And then an urge to kill Anna. And then you snap back out.
Felt the urge to kill Anna, an evil presence. I don't know.
A dark look overcomes my face as I'm...
Do you think there's anything else to be learned here?
Something evil.
What did the prince want us to do once we found her? I was trying to ascertain the motives of the prince.
Well, that you don't know, because if you assume that he is the prince, which you kind of know he isn't, then the whole monarchist thing is very logical. But if he's not, then...
Right. I look at the two of you and I say, we have to tell the prince what we saw without telling him anything of the strangeness of what we might have just experienced. That I think we should keep to ourselves.
Are you not concerned this prince might not be, so-called prince might be not be what he says he is or who he says he is?
I am very concerned about that. However...
Well, he's paying well.
You know, and there will be a big final payment coming.
Yeah, I say, honestly, I really could care less in what hands Russia finds itself.
Likewise. I prefer my own neck to stay intact as a first order of business.
Yes, exactly. And whoever this man is, he's obviously a powerful man who can help us. I'd rather not this poor victim, who's obviously been physically abused, not come to any harm. But she has a protector. This Baron von Kleist, I don't know if he's a good man, but he cares about her. He'll protect her to the best of his ability. And he's a man of resources. I just don't believe that we should mention anything about this weirdness. I won't even attempt to explain what that is. I don't know what it is, and I don't.
Should we even say that an attempt on her life was made?
No.
So it's probably only about 10, 15 minutes walk to where Konstantinovich is staying. At the Eden Hotel.
Have we had enough excitement? Do we need a stiff drink at my cafe?
I'm not tired. Assume now.
Let's go see Prince Konstantinovich.
It's a lovely evening, so maybe a 10-minute walk will be good to clear your heads.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. As you come out, you hear a newspaper boy announcing the late edition of the Berliner Zeit. And remarkably, the headline that he's shouting out, Grand Duchess Anastasia, alive and well in Berlin.
Not take long at all.
I just look back at both of you guys and I said, that did not come from us.
A lot of people are buying the paper with this remarkable news.
I want to grab one. Give me that.
He says, okay, miss. Keep your hair on. I'll give you the handout. Grand Duchess Anastasia, alive and well in Berlin. The city's white Russian community is humming with the news that a woman claiming to be the Grand Duchess Anastasia Romanov is living here in Berlin. The woman, who calls herself Anna Tchaikovsky, was recently released from the Daldorf Asylum and remanded into the care of Baron Arthur von Kleist, who served the Tsar honorably as chief of police of Russian Poland until the revolutions of 1917 forced him to flee, like many of his compatriots, to Germany. Miss Tchaikovsky, who was said to resemble the Grand Duchess in appearance and bearing, was admitted to Daldorf in 1920, having lost her wits in a fall into the Landwehr Canal in February of that year. Wow, February. That lucky she lived. She claims that her memory is slowly returning to her, although many details remain unclear. The Baron, who resides in a spacious third-floor apartment off Savignyplatz at Karmerstrasse 11, asks that the public respect Miss Tchaikovsky's privacy at this time as he attempts to help sort out the truth of the matter.
I literally facepalm at this. There it is. Address, name.
We need to go there now. Right now.
We need, yes, right now.
We go back to the Baron's
about face.
House.
Okay.
He might not even know about this. Yeah, we go right there.
Right.
Okay, you head back to the apartment, you go up, and the Baron, he's very surprised to see you.
We're holding the paper.
And he grabs it from you, he goes, what? Oh my god, what idiot, what?
We must leave immediately.
This did not come from us, we just found it on the street.
I mean, obviously it didn't come from us.
No, I, of course, I mean...
We just found out all this information 10 seconds ago.
Gotten Damon Blitzen...
German swearing, old German swearing.
Were you just naming reindeer?
Swears with 90 plus characters in them.
Some Scheißkopf Arschloch. I bet I know who it was. That idiot. nephew of mine. He thought he was helping. It was him for sure. Idiot. Kept saying, if we wanted help with this matter, we wanted people to come and support Anna, we should put a notice in the paper. I said, don't be stupid. He went and did it. Oh, I'm sure he didn't mean any harm, but after what happened tonight, I must get some help, some men to protect her.
Yes, if you want, I know of some good men that I can find for you.
Yeah.
You have a goodly budget, I can hire you some skilled men.
I do. Whatever it takes, we must protect this poor Anna, poor Anastasia, I suppose we should call her now.
Okay.
Well, look, thank you again. You are doing wonderful service to us. You will be rewarded, both by Konstantinovich and myself, I assure you.
Okay.
And he says, please, as soon as you find these men, send them round.
I want to talk to Konstantinovich as soon as possible, but I also want to contact my underworld contacts for hired muscle, ASAP. Those are our two options. What are your thoughts?
I say muscle first.
Muscle first?
Yeah.
Okay, because that might take me a couple hours.
Yeah, well.
I'm hoping we can talk to Konstantinovich within minutes.
All right, well, if you think that's what you should do.
Why don't you go and get the muscle and the other two can go to Konstantinovich?
I hate to split us up in a situation like this, but yeah, okay.
When there's demons about.
Did you see how easy it was to beat that demon?
You two go to Konstantinovich, drive back to Safina and get my man to hire some muscle.
And then we'll meet you where?
We'll meet in front of Von Kleist's.
Okay.
If you need me, you can telephone to Cafe Sophie.
Katorian, you head off to do your business with your, you know,
less than savory.
His colleagues.
Yeah.
Colleagues, yes, your colleagues. Meanwhile, the other two, you head then to the Eden Hotel, where Konstantinovich is waiting for you. And actually, he's sitting up there. He's holding a copy of the late paper. He says, so I see the paper beat you to the punch.
I raise up and say, would you believe I was on my way here to report this news to you when I was shocked to find it here in the paper? What I can tell you is that every word of this is entirely accurate. I have seen Ms. Tchaikovsky myself. She matches the description and the image you provided.
And you have been to this apartment?
Indeed.
How was she?
She had been injured, but seemed well enough, if a bit shaken up. I describe her scars.
He does look genuinely concerned. But when he says, it is so important that she is well and of sound mind, so that we may reinstall her on the throne of Russia, you realize that this is not his motivation.
This guy is a scumbag! He wants her dead.
Yes.
You didn't sense that he has any hostility towards her, okay, with that role. But clearly, this whole thing about wanting her back on the throne of Russia, it's not really what he's about. And he says, well, look, I'm very grateful to you for all that you have done. And given that, well, it is now common knowledge, but I feel that you have, to some extent, proven my thoughts. Here, please. Take this with my compliments. And he hands you an envelope.
I will take that money.
He says, I apologize. It is not cash. It is a check. I felt it would be more secure in these troubled times.
It's a check?
Yes. You can cash it, though, of course.
Of course. All right. Well.
I don't get checks. I get coins tossed at me in the street.
I'll show you how it works, Safina.
My dear, you go to a bank. You hand them this piece of paper. And they give you the money.
How do they know? How do I do this again? This is so easy, really, to get money.
Find another wrenched gentleman to give you another piece of paper.
He says, well, look, it is very late now. I want to again thank you so much. I can handle this all from here. And then he escorts you to the door. So, you're standing outside on the street, envelope in hand. It would have been, of course, very rude to open this and check it in front of him, but perhaps you want to make sure that it really is a check.
Yeah, I will take a look at it once I get outside.
It's actually made out to pounds sterling, and it is £50 sterling, which is a, you know, significant amount of money, especially with the currency just plummeting. But something very odd is that it's not made out in his name. It's drawn from a business account, Aufbauvereinigung, which means construction union.
It's from the construction union, you know? Yeah.
The construction union.
Yeah, the check is made out from some kind of builder's union.
That sounds familiar. Something about a builder's union. Wasn't that what Killinger was wrapped up with? Some kind of labor group or something or other?
So what Killinger... They were going under the Sportverein Olympia, Olympia Sports Association. Make an education roll, then, Kant, because you're pretty well read.
Should I bump it for an extreme success? Or is it not worth it?
No, it's fine. So you know that if you go to the Neues Stadthaus, the city's administrative building in Alt-Berlin, you'll be able to find out about where this company is registered or what this organization is, because they have those kind of records there. But clearly... That would be something you'd have to do in the daytime.
Okay, well, I just go back to Kreitz.
Outside the Baron's apartment. And let's say you meet up there. Let us just say that maybe we'll call an end to the day's proceedings. Because, of course, you've got plenty to do. It's very late now. You've had a very exciting day. You've been to a garden colony, an asylum, a cocktail party at the Baron's. You've had an encounter with a demon.
Getting a little sleep.
You've hired some local street thugs, and you've got a £50 check. Which is worth more than its weight in gold. Not that a check weighs very much. But let's say that night, as you're settling down for bed, the thoughts of all that's happened are kind of swimming around your heads. You know what? Everyone has to make a power roll.
Do I get to roll my bonus purple?
Yes, you do.
Bonus on power rolls.
Fail.
Hard success.
This time, Katorian.
Mm-hmm.
You had an untroubled sleep the night before, but tonight is different. You have a very vivid dream. Possibly the events of today are just compounding in your mind. You are in Grossman's apartment. You're just looking around, and then you look down, and you see the prostitute that you hired earlier that night. And she lies bound and gagged on the bed, sweaty and unconscious. You can't help noticing that your hand is covered in blood. The bedsheets partially covering the woman are likewise soaked with blood. And you're going to have to make a sanity roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah!
Well, you lose 1 point of sanity. But,
I lose one, yeah.
The thing that was most disturbing was when you looked at your hand... It was your hand. It wasn't Grossman's hand. It was as if you yourself had committed this hideous murder. And and that's where we will leave for this week. As wheels are starting to turn and horrors are starting to emerge.
Yeah, that was really good distraction.
We didn't get to punch any Nazis, though. I want to punch Nazis.